God is an awesome God. And no matter how many times we say that or how much we believe that, we cannot explain the greatness of the one God that we serve. We're happy, glad to see you. The first Sunday after is what we celebrate is Resurrection Sunday. For our message for the day from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20, verses 24 through 26, for our subject, don't miss church. Don't miss church. For seem like to me, it's just like the ball game that you decide not to go to. It seems as if to be one that you should have been there. It's one that nobody seems to be able to explain to you how good the game was. It's the same way with church. When you miss, seem like that's the best service that they have. When I'm not there, all the praises just seem to go up. Somebody that you thought had no emotions at all showed all types of emotions towards God. And I've been saying that that person was a sourpuss. They never thought about God. They just came to church because they spoke to come to church. I'm not the only somebody that's like that in here. You are the, when you look at yourself and tell the truth about yourself, You will see that. And Thomas had missed church the Sunday before. And I told you that because that's going to be my closing. So hang around. Thomas is the man that we're talking about today and telling him don't miss church. You can put your name there and tell yourself, don't miss church. Thomas is one of the 12 disciples. He's mentioned three times in the book of John. Chapter 11, verse 16. Chapter 14, verse 5. And chapter 20, verse 24. He is also called Didymus, which means twin. Historians and theologians have not been able to prove yet whether there was another twin. He is known as Doubting Thomas. And there's not too many of us in here that have been to church one or two days, have not heard about Doubting Thomas. But on some basis, we can call all of the apostles doubters and unbelievers. And I'll venture to go a little bit farther. You too. All of us have been doubters, if not now, doubters about something about this Jesus the Christ. But just because you are a doubter, it does not mean that you are an unbeliever. Thomas simply had not been with the other disciples when Christ appeared on that first resurrection day. He lost by not being faithful when the disciples or when the church assembled. When the call is gone out that there's going to be church, all believers, help me, Holy Ghost, ought to make every effort to show up. We don't know what effort Thomas had made not to show up. We just know he was not there. And the Sunday or the Wednesday night or the Tuesday night or the Wednesday morning, when you don't show up, it doesn't mean that you're not ministering for God. But you need to make sure that that's what you're doing. And let me put this plug in there. If you go to work on Wednesday, Don't stay home Wednesday to come to Bible study at 10 o'clock and miss work. Because pastor in the church can't pay your bills. You got to pay your own bills. Go to work and then come back at 6 o'clock. Some of you don't come at 6. Don't come at 10. But you still are a believer. Don't fall off the wagon there. And if I don't step on your foot sometime, you'll think I'm trying to preach around you. And I don't want to preach around you. I want to hit you. I want to hit you like I hit myself. We need to assemble with the body. When the body assembles, we need to be there. Thomas in history and theologians thought that he had labored after this in India, left many Christian converts in India. It is stated in history that the idolatrous priests tortured him with red hot plates. After they had tortured him, they cast him into an oven, which had no effect on him. But we call him Doubting Thomas. Then after they did that, they pierced him with spears while he was in the furnace until he died. But yet, we call him Doubting Thomas. Some of you will be glad to know that I only have one page instead of five or six. But I got 5 points. Point number one, lost opportunity. Thomas lost an opportunity to be present when Jesus made his appearance to the disciples for the first time. And I know that all we have to go by is what we read in the Bible and other books that we look at. He lost an opportunity to hear the resurrected Christ first. And if he had not believed, he would have lost an opportunity for repentance. It would not have been there. Lost opportunities, you cannot get them back. When opportunity knocks at your door, you need to answer. Or you need to let Jesus go and answer the door. Because when you fail to assemble yourself, you miss a chance of being a witness for Jesus the Christ. Christ is looking for and is in need of witnesses to stand for this gospel. Might not be like you want it to be, but you have to come, you have to take advantage of the opportunity so you can tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. He lost an opportunity for the acceptance of the resurrected Savior. He lost an opportunity because he was not there. Well, Baggett, you say lost. Does this mean that he was not saved? No, it does not. It means that he had an opportunity. Help me, Holy Ghost. To help somebody else. We believe people if they can say, I saw, I witnessed myself. He lost that opportunity. But it does not mean that he did not know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. But he missed, and we're like this. He missed having something on his resume. You know, you do know we read, Christian folks read resumes of other Christian folks, don't you? Yeah, we read your resume. The song that they just finished singing. If you were as they were singing, I'll move over there so y'all can see me too. Put me on the thing up there, please. While while they were singing, I was observing all of us. Some of us were into it. Some of us were out of it. The out of it were those that were if they had a nail clipper, they were. Yeah. Yeah. Or if I'm 15 or 16 and I got my phone, I'm back there texting. But I'm not texting that, oh, right now they sure praising God in here. I'm texting, what are you gonna wear to the party? We have a tendency to be out of, and we miss the opportunity. We miss it. Just because we are here, help me, Holy Ghost, it does not mean that you are worshiping and you're praising God. Some of us are here because I ought to go to church. We said, and I've said, I was raised in the church. I know I ought to go. And so I'll go every now and then for no other reason than having it on my resume. I was in church. I got to be a good person. Don't miss church. Can I just tell you that the church is in you. The church is in me. He lost an opportunity for being able to witness to the lost about the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Oh yeah, but I'm talking about he couldn't tell them. If you're not there when Jesus comes, who are you to say he's coming back again? If you don't trust him enough to stay with him, that's what happened to some of us. We want Jesus to stay with us all the time, and because he stays with us all the time, nothing negative happens in my life. My favorite expression in the last 6 or 7 months have been just like this. With this is God looking at you in the situation that you're in. He see you yesterday, he see you now, and he sees you tomorrow. But then you got to live until tomorrow in all this mess that you're in. And I've told y'all what my favorite thing is that God need to do for Dwight Baggett. Whatever mess I'm in now, since he sees me out of it, why he don't just pick me up and set me over there out of it? But he does not do that. Because if he would have done that, he would have had to go back and Jesus not go through everything he went through on the cross. So you got to go through. There's a song said, after I get over, I look back and wonder how I made it over. But I got an answer. I don't look back and wonder how I made it over. I know how I made it over. Because Christ brought me through. No matter what comes or what goes, if you stay with God, God will bring you through. Thomas missed an opportunity to be in the first service that Jesus was in, that he held with the disciples after the resurrection. Thomas can't say, I was there at the first service. He won't have that on his resume. And we do, I told y'all before, we read resumes because we love to have good stuff on our resumes. But Thomas missed that opportunity. He lost it because he was not there. Oh, we're not saying he's not a believer, but he just wasn't there. And don't you use that for an excuse too. I'm still a believer, I just wasn't there. You got to show up sometime. You can't keep telling the boss man you're going to get paid and you don't show up for work. and you don't have any sick leave left. You got to go to work. And that's what you have to do here. You got to stay there. Point number two. When you miss church, there's a lack of, L-A-C-K, of spiritual insight. You have to have the spiritual insight to know that if I don't show up where the blessings are being poured out, I will not receive those blessings that God has for me that's there. All your blessings won't be when you walk in the door of the church. But because the word said, fail not to assemble yourself. When the church sends out the clarion call, you need to show. Like a spiritual insight is that tells there's a need to be on the inside. There is a need to be on the inside. You don't just need to be on the outside. Some of us are old enough to remember when the club was just like a house. And they might have had windows in it just like a house. But you didn't want to be outside listening to the music. Y'all can sit here and look at me like you're crazy if you want to. You wanted to be on the inside so when they played your favorite song, you would be there to hear it when it come on the piccolo. You wanted to be right there. You didn't want to be outside. You wanted to be inside. You wanted to be inside. I say that about y'all because I say that about me. Might not have been an exceptionally good dancer, but I wanted to be on the inside. And you need to be on the inside of the spiritual part of the church. You don't just need to show up. You don't need to get it by osmosis. You got to get it on the inside of you. It's something that grows on the inside. He liked the spiritual insight because he had seen, he had heard that they crucified him. He wasn't there at the cross. He couldn't have seen him because he wasn't there. Somebody had to tell him. Don't let everybody have to tell you about what God's doing. You ought to be there. There ought to be some difference in your life that God is doing in your life. Some of us today that's in here today, other than me, don't believe everything that you have read about this Bible because you can't recall it all. You believe it in your spirit. I have not seen Jesus Christ. But you can't convince me. You can't convince me that he was not born of a virgin, died, crucified, resurrected, and this part you sure enough can't believe. Get me? He's coming back. And he's coming after me. That's when you have the spiritual insight. When you know within yourself, with everything you have, you believe that because God said it. And I believe it. If you don't believe it, he's still coming back. You got to have the spiritual insight. And there's another thing you must be, and this is somebody probably waiting now to go watch the NCAA finals. All of those two teams that's left is who? Michigan and Louisville and the men. All of them going to come out with one finger stuck up, number one. All of them, both of those teams want to be number one. You have to do that for Jesus Christ. You have to be his number one supporter. I know we're back at how can all of us be his number because he loves us all just the same. And he loves us all enough to make us his number one supporter. If we decide, I have to make a decision that I'm his number one supporter. I'm going to stand for Jesus Christ no matter what comes. If you leave him, I hate you left him, but I'm going to stay. You have to make a choice. You have to have enough spiritual insight to know that Jesus Christ, you're his number one supporter. And I won't be jealous if you say you're number one. I won't try to take you down from you thinking you're number one. And he does not deceive any of us. All of us need to become
his number one supporter. And when we support him, I'm glad you asked. You support him by helping everybody else begin to think that they are number one. There is no monopoly on being number one. God's number one, and I'm number one because I'm his. And I have to be that spiritual supporter of him, and I have to be number one. You have to be number one. We all are number one because we are in him. And when you stand there with him, you will be okay. You must then, in order to be to like spiritual insight, you have to do everything you can to obtain as much knowledge as possible about the risen Savior. Now listen, there's two kinds of knowledge. There's the secular knowledge and there's the spiritual knowledge. You can have all the secular knowledge that you want or that you can get, and it won't save you. Worldly knowledge, the things of this world, can have your PhD 3 or 4 times and can still go to hell with your PhD. You and your PhD go to hell. And you're going to burn just as hard because I believe you're going to burn worse because with your PhDs, you have enough sense to know that this is the truth, but you neglect it. To him who's given much, much is expected, much is required. But you got to turn it towards God. Paul said, to me, from what I can read, and I have very limited knowledge, but what I can read about Paul, he had more formal education than anybody else that wrote this book. And he said, I count it all as dung for the sake of Christ. He said, I preach one thing, Christ and him resurrected. Nothing else matters. Everything else is down the drain because with Christ, I have everything that I need. We do not need to miss church because when we miss church, we miss Christ. Church is more than getting up Sunday morning, putting on your best 3-piece suit, putting on your Echo shoes, getting your Thompson Chain Bible, putting it under your arm and walking in church. I laid it when you get ready to go. Your wife have cleaned up and she moved your Bible and you can't find it. Because you put it in one place Sunday morning, Sunday evening when you go in the house, you expect it to be there Sunday morning when you pick it up. And you don't have but one, so it ought to be at the same place. No, you need to pick that thing up during the week. Every day. This word, you need to do this just like you do eating. Some of us eat all day long. You ought to eat this word. You ought to eat this word. We especially guys, brag about how much we eat. We're just eating the wrong thing. You ought to eat this word. Man, I went to Ryan's and I pigged out. How much time did you spend at God's table, reading the word of God, so you could obtain as much knowledge about this word as you possibly can. And some of us have a lot of it between our right ear and our left ear, but we don't have it in our heart. We don't have it in our lives. You can get all you want to up here. If you don't use it for God and for the good of God, God's not getting any glory out of that. We have to obtain this knowledge for the youth and help to so others can come to Christ. There's somebody in this world that you know that's just waiting on you to witness to them about Christ. And they'll come to Christ if you witness to them. But you won't witness to them. You have the knowledge, so it's no good. If you were a refrigerator, it would spoil because it liked the current to run it. But what God put in you, he'll get the glory from it. You need to let him know that. Point number 3. He lost an opportunity
to witness to the sign seekers. There were people that were seeking signs from Jesus the Christ. The Pharisees, give us a sign. By what right do you do these things? Give us a sign. And looking for great things. There are people today that are watching you to see what signs you're going to give them that Jesus Christ is yet alive. And that that you are his servant. They know how you are supposed to live. Yeah. Your friends at work that talk about how they party, they know how you're supposed to live if you profess to be a Christian. But they themselves are not living the way a Christian ought to live. So they have the knowledge, but they yet seeking a sign. They seeking a sign outside of themselves. You need to show them what thus saith the Lord. Then there are those that were seeking a sign, but they missed it. There was a sign from heaven on the day of crucifixion. It said he hung on the cross and then the sun was darkened. The sun didn't shine. Now, looking out this door over here, it looks like the sun's shining and it's 22 minutes to one. If you go out there and it looks like midnight and it's just 20 minutes to one in the afternoon, and you don't see a cloud anywhere, the sun's just not shining. Are you going to say, well, what did the president and them do to the sun? What did Governor Scott and them do to the sun? And all the power goes out. What happened? But they were yet looking for a sign, and when the sign appeared, did not believe it and did not recognize. God is doing that for us every day. When the last time we see the sun about 7:30 or something tonight, it's going to be over on this side. If when you wake up Monday morning and you're standing right here and you're looking in that direction and you see the sun, you better start praying. Don't go nowhere else. Just start praying right where you are, because the sun is at the wrong place, because God said it would be coming from the east. So when we seek a sign, we need to know what signs we're seeking. Jesus told them, when stuff come, we just don't recognize it. God have blessed every one of you that I'm looking at today. If you had to count all your blessings, you'd run out of numbers. Because things we normally take for granted are blessings of God. You got two pair of shoes. You got another shirt or another blouse or something to put on at the house. And you probably got food in your freezer. Not talking about the pantry. Most of you probably got a credit card in your wallet. Probably got one. If you don't have one, it's probably your fault. But my point is that God have blessed all of us. And we don't realize the sign that he's put in front of us. He told us that there would be a sign. And what the sign he told them was, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the middle of the earth. Jonah was in there 3 days and three nights. Jesus was inside the earth 3 days and three nights. And when he shows us the sign, we don't see it or we don't recognize it. We forget that you are not promised to be here at 1 o'clock. Your next breath could be your last, or the one you're inhaling now could be your last. God blesses us and gives us signs, gives us a little more time to let the church come into us. Don't miss the church. I'm not talking about this building. I'm not talking about 11 o'clock Sunday morning. I'm talking about you missing Jesus. Don't miss the church. Don't let it get outside of you. Allow him to come into you.
One of the signs he showed them was Calvary. Going up the hill with the cross on his shoulder. And I know the cross or the burden of the sins of the world had to be heavy. Because I think about mine. I think about the sin that I committed. That would have been enough. But then he carried all of those. Even the most holiest person you can think of. I know my mind goes to my grandfather. I thought he was the perfect man. But he had them too. Because if he would not have had them, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. All of us have sinned in this life. And Christ carried all of those sins to the cross. So we could be in fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He died for us. Don't miss church. Don't miss the idea. Don't miss the promise that he gave. If you will receive me, receive my Son, then I'll bless you. And let me hit my young people again. You might think you know everything now. Keep living. You'll find out mama and granddaddy wasn't stupid. You found out they were smarter than you thought they were. That young man that you were so in love with, you'll find out the grandmama and them wasn't wrong. That joker wasn't no good. Because they knew, they saw something you did not know, but you would not listen to them. And that's why Jesus had to die for your sin. Young men, the same thing. Same thing. Stop running with the crowd you're running with because they're going to get you in trouble. But can't anybody tell you that? Oh, mama, you and daddy, y'all just old fogies. Yes, they are. But they know the road you're walking on because they've been there. And when you get in trouble, your buddy's going to be sitting back there laughing. I told that joker not to do it. When you up there in the county jail, those same friends of yours that you thought were your road dogs, you're going to find out your road dogs will run off and leave you. And then mama and daddy got to hawk everything to get you out of jail. You better wake up and do something you don't do. Pay attention to somebody that's been where you're trying to get to. Then the other sign he gave them, he told them, said, tear down this temple, and in 3 days, I'll build it again. He was speaking of the resurrection. Jesus, and for what this is worth, and this is free. Jesus, when he was teaching, a lot of the time, he taught above the head of the people that he was talking to. They thought he was talking about a physical temple. He was talking about a spiritual temple. When he told the woman at the well that this water that I give you, she was thinking about a physical, he was talking about a spiritual well. So you see, we need to get in the same line that he's in. He said, the sign that I'm going to give you is the resurrection. That if you tear down this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up again. And he raised it up again in three. This temple, he did that. He was giving them a sign. Believe what I've said. Believe what I've said. And at least we think that we're too so smart, a whole lot smarter than the disciples were. Some of us at the same place. You can't do what you don't have in your heart. You can have it in your head, but if it's not in your heart. That's why sometimes when you're a people watcher, and you watch saved people, and they are in places they don't have any business being. They're as nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. They just study looking to see who they know. Who they know that might know them. That I don't want them. No, you better be worrying about from up there. That's telling you you are out of your territory. You may used to be here, but you can't be here no more. Because you have the church. The church is on the inside of you. Some of you right now, If they have a ball this Saturday night and you go, you're going to be so uncomfortable. And all you're going to do probably just go there just to watch everybody. But you're going to be uncomfortable because you don't have any business being there. Uh-huh. Why is it? Because you don't have any business being there. And I'm going to look at you and tell you. If I didn't look at you, I'm going to turn around and look at you. You ain't got no business being there. I don't care what, who. Point number four. Point number four is just one word. Doubters. There are some doubters in the Bible other than Brother Thomas. If you want to, you can put all the other 10 names of the disciples. They all doubted because they were not there. And this, I thought about this morning when I was in the office and they're getting ready to come in here. If there was anybody that didn't doubt, it was those ladies that went to the tomb. And I know some of you male chauvinist pigs don't want to believe that. But you can't find, I couldn't find in the Bible where they did not believe. Why is that? Because they went and told. There's another saying, they said, telephone, telegraph, and teller. Uh-huh. But they went and told the right thing. They went and told the good news that Jesus was resurrected. The doubters were the disciples. They doubted it, and Jesus had told them. And y'all stop saying amen so loud, you didn't say amen on another. But listen to me. I know we like that because, and I can tell you why they like that. Because us as men have beaten them down for so long. They want you to know that you have not always been right. But let me tell y'all this, and y'all can take this home and smoke it. You need to stay where you are in a spirit of humility. Don't beat them across the head, because see, those same disciples were the one that were killed. Only one out of the 11 that was there after Jesus was resurrected died a natural death. You heard me tell you about Thomas. They killed him. Peter, they crucified him upside down. One of them, they crucified on an X, made an X on the cross. Another one, they filleted him. That means they took the knife and they skinned him alive. Now, sisters, let me ask you a question. Knowing all that happened to them, if you felt like that was going to happen to you, what would you do? You'd probably run and hide too. Because see, and that's just it. That's just it. We know that. But listen to me. Abraham was a doubter. Because you doubt, it does not mean you don't believe. 75 years old, don't have any children at all, and you tell me I'm going to have children like seas in the sand? Come on, God. I'm 75 years old. And then I still got to wait about 25 more years. We joke and go on at Deacon Westbrook and Brother Skinner about being the oldest two in here. If you were to tell one of them, they going to have... Patty better get him another wife, hadn't he? So you see my point. He doubted it because he was looking at the physical part. He was not looking at God. That's where we need to focus. We need to stay focused on God. Abraham doubted whether that was going to happen because he was looking at where he was now and what had happened to him yesterday. Christ is in control of everything, not some things, all things. Then there was a doubter named Gideon. Doubted whether God could do what he said he'd do. All those men had I think that's when they had the 35,000, and then God had them to whittle it down to 300, and then they went out and they conquered him. But Gideon was a doubter and a coward. I call him a doubter and a coward because he was down there, had some wheat, and he was in the wine press winnowing wheat. That means he's throwing it up trying to separate it. so he can make some wheat, make some bread. But God is not a God that have to hide. God does not hide what he does. He'll do what he's going to do on top of the mountain, on top of the house. He'll do because he's God. He knows what he's taking you through. That's why I keep telling you what you're going through now. If you give it to God, stay with God, and you will see him work and you'll come out of it. You have to believe. You have to expect God to do what he said he would do. And all the time when I'm in the midst of my mess, it does not seem like God is anywhere at all. I don't know about nobody else, and I do believe him. I believe him. But sometimes I want to look around and say, God, where are you? Are you anywhere? Have you gone to sleep? Have you forgot that I'm here? And then he answers me right back. If I was not, it would be a whole lot worse than what it is. So see, we have to know, no matter what we are going through, God has already gotten us through it, but we got to stay with him, and we have to go through. Then there was John the Baptist was a doubter. Yeah. Matthew 11, when he sent his disciples to Jesus, ask him if he is the one, or do we need to look for another? I know y'all don't see. I see doubt in that, because he had said when he one that is coming, behold the Lamb of God. He said that before, but now here he's questioning it. If you are them, let us know whether you are the one we need to be looking for, or do we need to expect another? So my point that I'm trying to get across to you is, don't sell yourself short because sometimes you get in a position where you doubt God. Because you doubt, it does not mean that you are not a believer. Martha and Mary at the resurrection of Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Lord, if you would have been here, if you would have been here, he would yet be alive. They believed in Jesus Christ. Believe he was the Son of God. But here they are saying, if you would have been here. And Jesus had told the disciples, it's good that we're not there for your sake. It's for your sake. And you need to take and point your finger at your. For your sake, it's good that he was not there, because we know he can do what he said he would do. Lazarus is only asleep. Thank you, Lord. Says, it's good for you that I was not there. So when I get there, you can go with me. And I think, wasn't it Thomas that said, it's good for us to go with him, because we'll die with him when we go back to Jerusalem. But he was a doubter. Martha and them doubted because their brother had been dead for, 4 days? And all Jesus did was ask him to roll the stone away. There's a message in that too, that no matter what God's got to do for you, there's something you got to do for yourself. And there's some things that you're waiting on God to do. God's waiting on you to do them so he can do whatever else he's going to do. Some things you're supposed to do yourself. You ask him for a job. Won't look in the paper. Won't go out looking. Won't get on the internet. You want the job to come to your door. Knock on your door, say, here's this job for you, show up. No, you got to do some things yourself. God's only going to do what God will do for you, what you can't do for yourself, but there's some things you can do for yourself. And so they had to believe for themselves. They doubted, but they yet believed. That was in the Sunday school lesson this morning, that they did not have joy. They were okay with it, but they didn't have joy. Believers need to have a joy within them, not happiness, a joy. You can have joy when things are going wrong, but you can't have happiness when things are going wrong, because happiness is an outward expression. Joy is an inward impression. It's way down deep on the inside of you. Seeing people in trouble over the head, but yet they're jumping and shouting. Because it's on the inside of them. You can be a doubter and a believer and have joy and be going through some of the worst situations you ever had in your life. You can have that because you have Christ on the inside of you. You didn't miss church. You did not miss church, and church is on the inside of you. When the church get inside of you, it'll work its way to the outside. A lot of people are happy outside. They don't have any joy inside. You can have joy inside and the happiness not be on the outside. But you got joy because you have Christ in your life. When Christ is in your life, he brings joy. He brings a joy that will surpass anything that happened to you in this world. And preacher would say, I'm getting ready to close. My conclusion is in verse 26. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. See, this time, church, when church met, Thomas was there. He was there. And God, Jesus, ministered to Thomas in a way that I saw that I hope everybody else can see it too. The other disciples had told Thomas what had happened, and Jesus had appeared to them. And we can say what we want about doubting Thomas, but he liked firsthand information. Didn't want to read it on the internet. Didn't want to read it in a book. He wanted to be there when it was said and when it was done. So he said, unless I'm there, unless he presents himself and I can see all this, I will not believe. And don't feel too bad to watch Thomas, because we have a saying that seeing is believing. If we see it, we are more likely to believe it. But if all of us had to describe one incident that happened in here today, it would probably be as many different versions of it as there are people that paid attention to the same thing that you did. So you see, it's going to be different. But if you are there for yourself, you don't have to take what somebody else said. You can take what I saw and what I believe. Just because you have doubt, it does not mean that you're not a believer. Thomas was a believer because when Jesus showed up and he had a chance to do what he had said that he was going to do. I don't know. And the Bible doesn't say whether any of the other disciples told Jesus what Thomas had said. But I just believe because he's omnipresent. He could have been there and they not recognize him, or they not knew him. Because you remember the brothers that were on the way to Emmaus. He walked along with them and they couldn't recognize him. We talking about Thomas after he got a chance to see Jesus, and his doubt might have gone away. And there still may be something that he doubted about, but he didn't doubt the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I have a question for you. Have you doubted the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Don't answer me yet. Wait till I finish it. If you have not allowed him to be risen in your soul, in your life, you doubt the resurrection of Jesus the Christ? Oh, yes, I know. Your name may be on the church roll. You may hold an office in the church. You may stand up and clap and shout and say amen. You may even be a preacher or a deacon or mother of the church or a member of the church in good standing, but have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your life? I'm glad you asked. What you mean, Baggett? Has he been resurrected in your life? Have you allowed Christ to come alive within you? I'm glad you asked. How do I know he come alive in me? The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. Why? Because Christ have been risen in my soul and in my life. When you allow Christ to come in your life, he changes you. He turns you around. He picks you up and he gets you out of the muck and the miry clay, and he puts your feet on the solid rock. I'm glad you asked. The rock is Jesus Christ, the resurrected one. When Christ is risen in your soul, your life changes. You turn around. You start walking different. I know right now that that when I was out there in the world, my walk was different. I'm not talking about a spiritual walk. I'm talking about a physical walk. It was different. I walked like I thought I was somebody, but now I walk then. So I thought everybody needed to be looking at me. But when I walk now, I want to walk so nobody will see me. I want to walk so they'll see the Christ that's within me. I want Christ to be exalted above anything that I ever thought I was. I want Christ to show through in my life. When you see me, I want you to see the Christ in my life, because Christ have been resurrected in my life. Nobody else may think that he have, but I know that he have, because I know where he brought me from. I know what he have done for me. He took me and he turned me around. He allowed me to see myself in his word. I saw myself roasting over hell. I thought about a chicken on a rotisserie over a barbecue grill. It just turning it over and over again. I saw myself over hell. The fire was burning and I was burning. I couldn't get off. I couldn't stop it from turning. But I was alive, and I said, God, if you help me, I'll turn around and I'll do what you have me to do. See, God's an awesome God. That's how I know he's been resurrected within my soul. Yes, I was scared. I knew I didn't want to go to hell, but I knew I was supposed to be serving God, because as we said earlier, I was raised in the church. I knew what I needed to do every now and then. I've told y'all this before. I'd come to church. I even came to Macedonia a couple of times. One time I specifically remember my wife was speaking, and I came and I sat right down front, just like I've been coming all the time, but my heart was not in it. My soul had not been given over to Christ. If it had, I was not aware of it, and I wasn't living like it. But check me out now. I'm living for God, because he has been resurrected in my soul. He changed me. He changed my life. He made me see that I needed him in my life. He didn't need me. I needed him. Because I was on my way to hell. Hell was my destination, and I was working to try to get there. If you go to hell now, it's your choice. You make a decision to go to hell. Don't you worry about what's going to happen when you get there. You can't change it. You can't stop it. It's going to happen, but you can change your direction. All you got to do is buy another ticket. You buy a ticket on your way to heaven, but Jesus Christ need to be resurrected in your life. If you allow him to be resurrected in your life, he'll turn you around. He'll make you do the things that's right. You might not want to do them. You might not like to do them, but if you keep doing what he said for you to do, after a while, by and by, it will become part of your life. You will do it just as you breathe. Nobody tells themselves when they wake up in the morning, I guess I better start breathing. You just do it anyhow. That's the way it ought to be about serving God. You just ought to do it anyhow, because that's all you know, because you know what brought you and you know what'll keep you. God brought you and he will keep you. You have to have faith, and you have to believe in Jesus the Christ. On that note, faith and mercy had a conversation. In the conversation, they couldn't finish the conversation that they were having. Mercy told Faith, said, Faith, we need to finish this conversation, said. So tomorrow, will you meet me on Mount Carmel about 12 o'clock? Faith said, yes, I'll meet you there. Come 12 o'clock, Faith was not there. Mercy left. Mercy ran into Faith again asked him, said, "You were supposed to meet me at 12 o'clock yesterday, and you were not there." I said, "Where were you?" He said, "I had to go by," said, "there was three bars in a fiery furnace. And they needed me to come by there." So they needed faith so they could be thrown in that fiery furnace. So at 12 o'clock, I was by there taking the heat out of fire. He said, "Tell you what, so can I meet you tomorrow?" He said, "Yeah, I'll meet you tomorrow." He said, "Okay." So they got there, and he got there the next day at 12 o'clock, and faith wasn't there again. He said, "Why do you keep denying not wanting to meet with me whenever you set the time and you're not there?" He said, "I was supposed to be there yesterday at 12. He said, "Yeah." He said, where were you yesterday?" He said, "There was a lady in the temple praying, wanted a son. Saying, I met her there to give her faith to ask God for what she needed." Said, "Well, did it happen?" Said, "Yeah, God granted it." Said, "Okay." So that day they were walking down the street, walking across the woods, up the hills and down the valleys. And they came to a lake that was all the way across the road. And during their time in walking there, Mercy told Faith, said, "You need to stop and start doing what you say you're going to do." Said, "We said we're going to meet at this place and you don't show up." The river that had overflooded was across the road that they needed to go on. When Mercy got to the river that was overflooded, he got to the river and he looked and he said, "Well, there used to be a boat there," said, "but the water have covered it up now," said, "so we can't get across. So we're going to have to wait here until the water go down." Faith looked at Mercy and said, "Get on my shoulders." Said, "And we'll walk across." Said, "What?" He said, "Get on my shoulders." He said, "And we'll walk across." Mercy got on Faith's shoulders and they walked across the water. Well, why are you telling us that? God got something for you to do that it's going to take faith. You can have mercy all you want. You can have, but it takes faith to do some of the things that God wants you to do. And because Mercy had been doing all the things that he was doing, he felt like the faith was not doing. But without faith, could not do what God wanted him to do on the other side of the flooded river. There's a flooded river in somebody's life. You need to get on the shoulders of faith and walk across, because God would not send you on a journey if he had not made a way for you to get all the way there. With that, we'll extend an invitation for you to stand. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is your time. This is your